No, my friend. I'm thinking that the mind behind these enormities evolved quite recently. Several days later, the eternal fog still covered the city. I was treating a case of fossy jaw in a middle-aged matchworker. My signature was still wet on the prescription for morphia when the worker suddenly spoke up. Quite impossible in a patient whose jaw had entirely dissolved into a sort of calcareous mush, taking me momentarily aback. "Good morning, Watson." This time, however, I regained control with a steely resolve. I did not even look up. "Good day, Holmes. I hope you realize you've just wasted 15 minutes valuable consulting time." "Oh, I do apologize, dear fellow. The streets remain dangerous, and I had to see you. It was the excitement of finishing a case that has been puzzling me for some time." "Ah, the Hampstead trombonist decapitations?" "The very same. I have found what I believe to be an answer in forensic paleontology." Holmes fidgeted in his chair nervously. "Don't you want to know how I feigned a jaw entirely dissolved by phosphor poisoning?"
"I most certainly do not."
"Oh, very well. It is a case, Watson, that will go down in the annals of all cases in which a dinosaur was used as a murder weapon. For there is a human being behind these deeds, make no mistake of it." Out of a carpet bag on the floor, he drew another volume of bound periodicals. "These are the observations of a Mr. Barnum Brown, who has recently discovered a colossal ornithopod in the fastnesses of Alberta, which he names Corythosaurus casuarius. This creature, a member of the Hadrosauridae, or duck-billed dinosaurs, possesses a singular crest on its skull, a hollow, air-filled bony structure which some paleontologists have wrongly supposed to have been used for breathing while the animal snorkeled like a scaly submarine. There is, however, a slight drawback to this theory in that the crest possesses no exterior nostril. The murders, Holmes?"
"Ah, yes.
There is, you see, a school of thought that believes the crest formed a sort of resonating chamber with which the beast would be capable of making distinct musical notes, not unlike, one would imagine, a trombone." "Holmes, I cannot see any conceivable reason why a house-sized prehistoric creature would wish to make a noise like a trombone. These creatures were not the sharpest of sorts. Some of them needed secondary brains in their abdominal regions to remain capable of coordinating their movements. It is also true that large creatures do not necessarily have acute senses. The rhinoceros is notoriously short-sighted and relies on its sharper sense of hearing to detect approaching hunters. Consider, then, a herd of such creatures. Like African herbivores, they might not all be members of the same species. Multiple species of African antelope often gather at the same waterhole to drink. However, our antelope weigh 5 tons and are only marginally cleverer than the pond scum they're lapping up. It is quite possible that they might elect to mate with the wrong species if they are not provided with some constant audible cue. Some species of hadrosaur might therefore have made noises like trombones, as if to say, 'Here I am, I'm a trombone-crested hadrosaur, and other trombone-crested hadrosaurs may profitably choose to mate with me.' But the noises they made would not be of interest solely to their mates. They might also have interested their predators."
"Good God, Holmes," I cried. "Are you telling me those poor wretches died simply because their instruments made sounds resembling that creature's natural prey?"
"I not only believe it," said Holmes, "I intend to prove it by the most direct means possible." He drew out the trombone from his bag, along with a copy of the sheet music for Faxted. We were walking through a wilderness of winter-deadened trees in a fog in which an entire herd of Hadrosauridae could have stood shoulder to shoulder unobserved. A bandstand loomed out of the murk. Posters announced a forthcoming event involving royalty. "You will not need your pistol, Watson. It would be entirely useless against the creature. Shooting it accurately in the brain would be as hard as hitting a bull from 100 yards, and I imagine even 4-5-5 ball would simply bounce off its scaly hide." "There do not seem to be any dinosaurs in the vicinity, Holmes. I feel sure that such large animals would advertise their presence."
"A predator," said Holmes, "never advertises its presence.
and he raised the trombone to his lips